Good afternoon. Welcome to the Church at Lafayette radio broadcast. Thank you for joining in with us. Today, Pastor Young will be ministering the message entitled, You Need Jesus. Now we join in with the message already in progress.
All judgment is given to Jesus Christ. Even Father has given that job to Jesus Christ. But yet I find a lot of Christians judging. And he says he'll do all the judging. Am I right? And then I want you to flip over to John chapter 13. Same book, same author. John chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 34 and 35. I want you to see what we're supposed to do. Now, who's going to do the judging? Jesus. And here in, by the same book, by the same author, which is the Holy Ghost, using the same man, St. John, and the same Lord Jesus speaking, he tells us what we're supposed to do. He says, this is what I want you to do. Verse 34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I loved you, that you also love one another. That by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Now, he judges, right? What are we supposed to do? Love, not judge. And what I want to say this morning is I see a lot of Christians doing a lot of judging. You're not supposed to judge, Christian. You're supposed to love. Now, what does love mean? It means just receiving people just like they are. How did he receive you? He says, I want you to love one another just like I loved you. How did he? Did he want you to change before he loved you? He just received you just like you were. And that's what he's wanting us to do. Stop judging and start loving. We all get into the judging mode from time to time. Let him do it. He's a whole lot better than we are. Let's just receive people and love people and let God do all the other. Is that all right? All right. Now for the Easter message. Luke. I just need to say that. I feel like the Holy Spirit wanted me to say that today. I want you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24. I'm going to read Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through verse 12. We'll be here 20, 25 minutes. I'll quit that. They're snickering. Oh, really? I don't think that's about what it's going to take. And then we'll do whatever we're going to do. We'll all be back here at 6. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to be vessels, Lord, that you pour out. Drink offerings, Lord, into you. Lord, I pray that which you have poured into me, I'll be able to pour out. Father, I pray I'll be a good sower that goes forth to sow seed. The Lord God, the hearts have been prepared by praise and by worship, by prayer, by seeking your face, and can receive what you want to say to us. Father, I pray it in the name of Jesus. I want you to stretch your hands out to me and just pray for me. Just receive your prayers. Father, I just receive the anointing now. I receive the prayers of the saints. Father, as they pray for me, I just receive their prayers. And I put your hand on your heart, let me pray for you. Father, I just pray for the people now. I just pray, Lord God, the seed of God will come into their hearts, and good fruit will come forth in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed down their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. And these words appeared to them as nonsense. The King James Bible says idle tales. At any rate, they would not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only. And he went away to his home, marveling at that which had happened. I want to talk to you a little while this morning about spices that we prepare. Spices that we prepare. These ladies had prepared spices to put on Jesus. He had been crucified on what we call Good Friday, the Friday before the Sabbath day, which was Saturday, and then he rose on Sunday. Now, when he had been crucified, Joseph of Arimathea, of course, had hewed out a tomb, and they had put Jesus in there. And the book of John tells us that Nicodemus had prepared about 100 pounds of spices that he put on Jesus. And now, after the Sabbath day, which was Saturday, Jesus rises, and here he is that morning, and they come with spices that they had prepared to clean the body of Jesus and to properly anoint it for final sealing and final burial. And they come there, and of course, and Jesus is not there. But they had prepared spices. And that's what I want to talk about first, spices that we prepare. Spices that we prepare. How many know Jesus doesn't need any spices? He's not there. He doesn't need anything that we can prepare. What we need is Him. If we have Him, we don't need spices. And I want to talk about that we try somehow to make dead things smell good. Death is a sad thing. Death is something that's a confusing thing. It was confusing to live with Jesus because you didn't ever know what was going to happen. It was now confusing. Jesus had died, and that was confusing. And now He's risen, and that was confusing. How many of you know in your walk with Jesus Christ, sometimes it gets confusing? You just don't understand some things. And now He had died, and it was confusing, and these people were confused. And all through the ages, we have always tried to make death somehow acceptable. We can't quite understand death. It's confusing to us. And so what we try to do is somehow do something that'll make it better. So what the Egyptians did is they embalmed. They tried to put something into that would make death better. But they would still die, and it would still decay, and it would still eventually rot. The Jews would put spices and sweet-smelling things on the body, and that would cover up some of the smell for a little while, but eventually it would still smell bad, and it would still die. And, of course, others cremate. They put the body into a fire so that it won't smell, but eventually even that will decay, and it's gone too. But all through the ages, we've always tried to have an answer to death. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's not but one answer. And His name is Jesus Christ. And when you go to try to spice it up, He just won't be there. He doesn't need our spicings. What He wants is our lives. I want to expand this thought just a little bit. So many people that I talk to have dying marriages. They're starting to stink. And they try to spice them up. They send flowers. Nothing's wrong with sending flowers. Now, you understand, ladies, I'm not... Okay. Nothing's wrong with flowers. Or we buy them better clothes and fancier clothes and more expensive clothes. Or we cook them better meals. We cook our husbands better meals and we clean the house up a little bit better. And there's nothing wrong with cleaning the house up, ladies. Understand what I'm saying here. And there's nothing wrong with flowers. And we take long vacations or a lot of vacations. And we try to add a spice to something that's smelling bad. And we just don't want people to know it's smelling bad. So we try to add all these spices in there to make it smell good. But if Jesus isn't there, it's still going to die and it's still going to stink. You see, unless Jesus Christ is in the marriage, you're embalmed with Him. Christ where? In you. That's your only hope of glory. Unless you are embalmed with Him, it's still going to die and stink. Unless you anoint Him, you put the sweet smell of the fragrance upon you. He says that John the Baptist says, I baptize you in water, but you shall be baptized what? In the Holy Ghost and fire. Unless we have the fragrance of Him upon us, unless that fire baptism is really what's consuming our lives, our marriage, it's still going to die and it's still going to stink. Am I right? Did Jesus say this? He says, the wise man does what? He builds his house upon the rock, which is the sayings of Jesus Christ. But the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. He hears, but he doesn't do. Now, the same storms come against both houses. One falls and one stands. The one that stands is the one that built his house upon the sayings of Jesus Christ and does them. He heard them and he did them. The other one didn't do them. He just heard them. What I'm trying to say today is that you can try to add all the spices to your marriage. You can try to do all the right things to your marriage. But unless your house is built upon Jesus Christ in you, on you, and consumed in Him, your marriage will still fail. Now, you need to know that. I see it all the time, every day. Let's expand a little bit more. How about finances? A lot of people's finances stink. And they're dying, and it's killing them. And so we try to spice it up. Jesus Christ isn't the center of your finances. It'll still die. It'll still stink. I don't care how you spice it up. I don't care how much money you borrow. I don't care what you do. How about a dead church? If Jesus Christ is not in that church, if that church does not have the Holy Spirit in that church, it'll still die. I don't care how we try to spice it up with men who have degrees, fancy doctrines, do fancy programs. I don't care what kind of spices that we prepare and add to it. It's still going to die and it's still going to stink. How many has ever been into one of those? Do you hear what I'm saying today? And we try to add our spice to things. We try to add our programs to our marriage. How about our children? Rebellious children. We come on Wednesday night and I say, well, where's Johnny? Johnny had homework. Well, you just tried to spice it up. What Johnny's really in is rebellion. And Johnny needs to be here, and he's not. He needs to be getting ministered to. And probably the reason Johnny's in rebellion is because Mom and Dad's in rebellion. And we've tried to spice it up and make it sound good. Johnny's not doing homework. Johnny's home watching television. Where does Johnny need to be? Right. And we try to add these things, and we try to spice up things, and we try to make things smell good and look good when really it's just decaying and it's dying and we just don't want to admit it. How many knows I'm right now? You know I'm right. How about a business? Let's talk about a business. You have a business. And so it starts going downhill. It starts decaying. It starts dying. And the first thing we try to do is spice it up. We run to the bank and borrow some money to embalm that business with. Am I right? Or we go try to find a partner. We try to do something to keep that thing from stinking. And we're people that try to prepare spices. Try to prepare spices when in reality what we need is Him who is the spice. Him who is life. And in Him who is, there is no death at all. We need Jesus Christ. The angel said, don't you remember? Usually it's the people asking the angels questions. But it was interesting to me that here in this passage, the angels were asking the people the question. And this thing's a perplexing thing. It's perplexing to the angels. It's perplexing to them. And they said, don't you remember what He said? Your marriage is stinking today. Don't you remember what He said? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your own husbands, even as unto the Lord. Don't you remember what He said? And I have a belief today that the angels are still asking those questions. Don't you remember what He said? Your finances are stinking. Don't you remember what He said? He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Your business is stinking. Well, then probably you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. Because Jesus said, don't you remember what He said? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall just be added unto you. Your children are in rebellion and there's stench there. Don't you remember what the Bible says? Don't spare the rod. Don't you remember? And what I want us to hear today is the angel speaking that to our hearts. Don't you just remember? You can spice it up all you want to. But if you've got to spice it up and you've got to keep it alive, Jesus isn't there. It's going to die and it's going to smell bad anyhow. What you need to do is find Jesus Christ. Let Him be your embalming fluid. Put Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let Him be your anointing, your spice of life, that fragrance that smells good upon you. And let Him be the consuming fire. Don't you know our God is a consuming fire? And then the second thing I just want to bring out. We call this part of the season Easter. It's the most important day of the year. It's the most important time, day of the universe. But it's not Easter, it's Pascha. And it came from Exodus chapter 12. And it talks about the blood of the Lamb. And He says, if I find the blood of the Lamb on you, I will what? Pass over you. Not I'll Easter you, I'll pass over you. Easter, or Oster, O-S-T-E-R, was a fertility goddess in the Greek culture. And it was a temple of prostitution. And they had a lot of rabbits and they had a lot of chickens because they fertilized quickly and reproduce. And that's what this cult was about. In the Dark Ages, after Constantine, and the next kings, the next Caesars, made it a rule, a law that you had to be a Christian to be a Roman citizen. Well, everybody became a Christian, but they brought in with them all of their osters and all of their other things. I'm not getting into all that. And now it's Easter. But really, it's Pascha. And it deals with the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't deal with bunny rabbits and chickens. And what I'm trying to get to is everybody is looking for something. I want us to understand that it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the most important day of the year. And everybody's looking for a resurrected Savior. Everybody wants something in their life that will end the confusion. They don't want bunny rabbits and chickens. They want a Savior, a Christ, somebody that's got the answers to everything. People are confused today. They're afraid of life. They're afraid of death. They're afraid of the resurrection. We all think about it a second. We're having a funeral here. We'll play like we're having a funeral. We got a casket right here. And I'm up here delivering the Word of God over this casket, over this dead person. And this dead person all of a sudden starts climbing out of that casket. What happens here? This place empties, you know? We find the closest door. I'll go out that one right there because it's the closest. But Jesus Christ wasn't afraid of anything. He wasn't afraid of life. Listen, we have been teaching that the Bible is telling us how to go to heaven. The Bible, we've been teaching people for all these years that the Bible tells us how to die. No! He says, I come to give you life and that abundantly. It's a book of life. It's not a book of how to die and go to heaven. Oh yeah, you'll get that. But I want to have some answers now, don't you? And Jesus, that's what He came to do, was give answers and give answers now. People want somebody to give them the answer now. And everybody's looking for a Savior. Everybody's looking for somebody with the answers. Save me from my problems. Save me from my bad marriage. Save me from my rebellious children. Save me from my crumbling business. Save me. And so we try to find spices. Closing with this little story. Several years back, I don't know how long, there was a movie that came out and it was called E.T. But I went and saw E.T. I repent, but I went and saw E.T. Extraterrestrial. I went and saw it four times. That just goes to show you that the blood of Jesus Christ will keep on forgiving you. And we would evangelize people to go see E.T. We did. Did we take y'all to see E.T.? We didn't. But I took my pastor. I evangelized to him. to my pastor and his wife and his daughter. We took them to CET. And we'd go to CET, and people would be lined up down blocks to see this ET, extraterrestrial. And everybody was coming. There were black people there and white people there. There was Chinese people there. There was all kinds of people. There was rich people and poor people. And they were all lined up to go see ET. And you finally get in. And you find a seat. And there was electricity, boy, in the air. Everybody was excited about ET. And the place was buzzing. And, boy, you could just feel the anointing. And the lights go down. Oh, it's starting. And here comes ET. Ugliest little thing I ever saw. Listen, he looked like a raisin with a neck. That's what he looked like, didn't he? But everybody loved E.T. E.T. could do miracles. His little finger would light up and he'd heal. He could fly. And everybody loved E.T. And E.T. died. Everybody cried. I cried. Four times. The flower died. But E.T. was rose from the dead. He was resurrected. And the flower lived. And he ascended. And everybody cheered. And everybody was happy. And they lined up. I don't see people lined up for blocks to come to church. I don't see people, all colors, blacks and whites, and everybody coming to one church. I don't see that kind of a buzz and anointing and exciting about, oh boy, we're going to get to praise God. Oh, it's starting, starting. You don't hear that. You don't feel that. You know, E.T. was just despised. You know where E.T. is now? He's in a box in Universal Studios collecting dust. Ugly little thing. E.T. never healed anybody because E.T. never lived. E.T. never died because E.T. never lived. E.T. was never raised from the dead because E.T. never lived. But I serve a living Savior. And I don't know it because the Bible said so, or because you said so, or because somebody said so. The reason I know it is because I have changed. He lives in my heart today. And I serve a living Savior. I don't do what I used to do. I don't think like I used to think. I remembered what He said. He says, if you'll do this, here's the answer. If you will do, hear His words and do His words, He says, winds will come against your house, the storms will blow, but son, you'll stand. And it's true, isn't it? Don't build your house on E.T. Build your house on Jesus Christ. Don't build it on some fixation of Hollywood. Build it on Jesus Christ. So many people have joyless lives. They embalm themselves with drugs, pills. Stick that stuff in their bodies. Put Jesus Christ in your life. Put Him in you. Some people want to be covered up and consumed with extramarital or premarital sex. It'll stink one day, folks. Be anointed by the Holy Ghost of God. People want to be consumed, and they get consumed by the fires of pornography, by the fires of drugs, by the fires of abusive things. I'm telling you today, there is a living Savior, and you're looking for something that'll save your life and change the way you think and change the way you do things. It's Jesus Christ. He is the only one, and you won't find Him in a dead tomb. You'll find Him in your heart. And the way you get Him there is just simply by receiving Him. And the way you serve Him is by simply obeying Him. Doing what He said do. If you'll do that, I promise you, your life will be filled with the kingdom of God. And you'll walk in righteousness. You'll learn how to do things right. You'll walk in the peace of God. You won't be worried about tomorrow, because the answer is today. You'll have joy. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you'll walk in victory. And you'll be a happy person. Drugs and booze and sex, downers, man. I'm telling you. Death stinks. And you try to spice it up. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the answer. Don't you remember what He said? Hear the angel whispering it in your ear today. Don't you remember?
We thank you for joining in with us, and we invite you to join us next Sunday at 2:05 for our radio broadcast. If you do not have a regular place of worship, we'd like to invite you to come worship with us. Our Sunday morning service begins at 10 a.m., Sunday night service at 6 p.m. Our Wednesday night prayer begins at 7 p.m. We're located on Culberson Street across from Hammond Jones Hardware. We'd also like to take this opportunity to invite you to our Easter drama tonight, which begins at 6 p.m. We'd really love to have you here. Thank you.
That's you today. Slip your hand up. Slip your hand up and let me just pray with you. Amen. Amen. See some hands. See some hands. Any more? Take a few seconds here. Another hand. Uh-huh. Any more? Yeah. There's more. And we don't tarry here. Let me tell you something. I want your head still bowed. I want you just listening to me. Friday night, we've done this Easter drama. Portrayed before the faces of 240 people was the birth, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He worked miracles. He saved people. He rose from the dead. He really did that. I came down here knowing that this place was full of needs. Out of 240 people, there was probably 240 needs. I came down here and I asked the people, I said, we want to pray with you before you go. There were sick people here. There were people in all kinds of problems. But they allowed the enemy to do something. They allowed the enemy to keep them from coming down and being prayed for and being ministered to. I beg you today, don't allow the enemy. Don't allow anything in your life to keep you from coming down and being ministered to. I called the elders and the deacons down here. We had a line of men. It wouldn't have taken long. I guess about 7 or 8 people came down. Folks, don't let the enemy talk to you right now and saying, oh, you just embarrass yourself. Folks, I'd rather be a little embarrassed and get my life squared away than live in hell. I want to minister to you. I want to ask it one more time. If you raise your hand, I want you to raise it. And if you hadn't raised your hand, you want to. I want you to. I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't even ask you to come down. I just want to know you want us praying for you. You want us to have you in our prayers and to be remembering you. That's you today. You say, I've got away from the Lord a little bit, and I really want Jesus Christ to be the ruler and the Lord and the Savior of my life. That's you today. Would you raise your hand? Many more hands. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Category number 3. You've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Never. You've never confessed Him with your mouth openly. Maybe in some secret corner, but you never told anybody you was a Christian. You need to do that. You need to do that. Forget about E.T. Forget about fairy tales. I want to introduce you today to a living Savior. I stand before you as a witness of somebody who he's changed. My life has changed. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't think the way I used to think. I serve a living Savior. That's you today. You've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You say today is the day. I don't know a better day than Easter day. Pascha day. Let's get the blood on you today. That's you today. You've never received Jesus. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you.